Well, if you are a guest or a friend this morning, you are here, I assume, because someone invited you. Someone either gave you a call or sent you a text or showed you that video of me running down the sidewalk from last week or something to invite you to come to our friend day. And the reason why they invited you is because they thought that you were in some way a little bit special, a friend to them, and so they wanted you to be here this morning. And they wanted you to be here not simply so that you could get free coffee and donuts, not simply so that you could meet other people here at our church, but they wanted you to be here so that you could worship the Lord our God with us. That's why we're here. And the theme for our worship service this morning is Revelation chapters 4 and 5. And if you have a Bible with you, I want to encourage you to open to the book of Revelation chapters 4 and 5. Revelation is the last book in the Bible. And so just turn to the back of the Bible and go to chapters 4 and 5. If you don't have a Bible with you, that's okay. In the pew rack in front of you, there is a Bible there. And if you don't have a Bible at home, you can take that Bible home with you. And that'll be our gift to you today, because we want everybody to have the Word of God. But in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, there is this vision of a heavenly throne room scene. And that vision is given to John the Apostle. And the way it all unfolds is that John looks up and he sees this door leading up into heaven. It's kind of like a portal that's leading to the heavenly realms, to the presence of God. And he hears a voice from that door, and the voice says, "Come on up. Come on up, and I will show you what must take place after this." It says that in chapter 4, verse 1. Come on up. It must have been friend day in heaven that day, because John was invited to come on up and experience the heavenly throne room scene. And John experienced that vision, and he wrote it down so that we could have that vision ourselves. And so you might say that through John and what he wrote, Christ has said to all of us this morning, come on up. No matter who you are, whether you're a guest this morning or a partner in the gospel here at Southside, whether this is your first time in church in a long, long time, or if you've been in church your whole life, Almighty God and our Lord Jesus Christ says to all of us, he invites us, come on up and experience heaven. Experience the throne room scene. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to join our Lord at the throne, and we're going to worship our God. We're going to sing some songs, and I want to encourage you to sing out. If you don't know the songs, the words are going to be on the screen, and try to follow along and sing. Even if you don't think you have a very good voice, we want you to sing. We love singing here at Southside. We're going to have scripture readings from the Bible, and they'll all be from Revelation 4 and 5, and I hope you'll follow along. We're going to share communion this morning. We're going to take of the bread and the fruit of the vine and remember our Lord Jesus. I hope, if you're a part of the body of Christ, I hope you'll participate in that with us. And then I'm going to give some messages from the Word of God, and I hope you'll stay awake and listen during those messages. I hope you'll participate in our worship assembly this morning, because all of us have been invited. We have been invited from our Lord Jesus Christ to come on up and experience the heavenly throne room. The way we begin our worship here at Southside, we have a little tradition where we stand and we say a scripture together. We have a theme for our year, and our theme this year is right over here on this banner, a people moving from disappointment to hope. And there's a scripture that we think really captures that theme, and it's the scripture found on this banner. It's Isaiah 40, verses 30 and 31. And so we're going to say that scripture together at this time. So let's all stand at this time. And let's say the words that are on the screen together. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Let's worship.
Going to be reading from Revelation chapter 4. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet, speaking with me. said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things." Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he who was sitting was like a jasper stone and a sardius in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne like an emerald in appearance. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders, sitting, clothed in the white garments and golden crowns on their heads. Out from the throne came flashes of lightning and sounds of peals of thunder, and there were seven lamps of burning fire before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal, and in the center, around the throne, four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first creature was like a lion, and the second creature like a calf, and the third creature had the face like that of a man, and the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. And for the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings and are full of eyes around and within, and day and night, they do not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord, the Almighty, who was and who is to come." And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him, him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created."
One of the central themes of this first part of this heavenly vision in chapter 4 is the throne. I don't know if you noticed in Aaron's reading, but the word throne comes up over and over and over again. In fact, 14 times the word throne is used in Revelation chapter 4. It's the center of the whole vision. Everything that's described is described in its relationship to the throne. Every action that is done is talked about in how it relates to the throne. The throne is the center of it all. You can really see it because of the prepositions that are used in reference to the throne. It says that there are four living creatures and they surround the throne. It says that there are 24 elders and that they are before the throne. It says that there's a rainbow that encircles the throne. It says that there's lightning and thunder that comes from the throne. And then, of course, there's the one who sits on the throne. The throne is the center of it all. And we're not given a big description about who is the one who sits on the throne. It tells us that that person is emanating as rare, precious jewels. It tells us that there is a rainbow of colors of the one who's on the throne. But we know who it is, don't we? It's the Creator God, the one who has created all things, including you and me. And it says, around the throne of our God, there are these four living creatures, and they represent the created order, and they're saying over and over and over again, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and is to come." And then there are these 24 elders, which we think maybe represents the church, the restored Israel. And they're dressed in white robes, and they have on their head these golden crowns, which incidentally, the word in Greek for crown is Stephanos, which I really like that word, because my name in Greek would be Stephanos. Feel free to call me that today. But it means crown. And they're wearing these golden crowns, and in Greek and Roman culture, you would wear a golden crown to demonstrate that you have honor and power and strength. It'd be like today someone wearing a gold medal around their neck. We put gold medals over someone because they've demonstrated great strength, power, and honor, and we want to highly esteem that person. So here are 24 elders, and they've been highly esteemed because they're wearing these golden crowns. And what are the elders doing? They're taking off their crowns. They're taking off their gold medals, and they're laying them at the foot of the throne. As if to say, whatever honor and strength and power we have, it doesn't matter, because you, God, the Creator God, deserve all glory and all honor and all power. They're worshiping. And when I see that scene, it convicts me in two ways. Number one, it reminds me that the center of the world is the throne of God. Too many times I get fixated on my life and I get concerned about my wants and my desires and my dreams and the things that I want to accomplish, and I build a little kingdom of myself where the throne is me. Anyone do that? And we think that what really matters in life is what matters to me. I heard one preacher say is that if your vision for your life is to find a way to cope with your own stress, to realize your own dreams, and to somehow be happy, you need a bigger vision. And maybe that's God's message to you this morning. You need a bigger vision, because the center of the world is not a throne of me. The center of the world is the throne of God. That's the center of the world. And when you start to understand that, life goes a lot better. Have you ever noticed that? Because most of our arguments in marriage, most of our problems at work, most of our issues with children, most of the time are because we're trying to put ourselves on the throne. We're trying to get our way. And when we take a step back and we realize that actually the center of the world is not me, the center of the world is the throne of God, life starts to go a whole lot better. Because our life is correctly ordered and we understand our purpose, that our purpose is not for me and for what I want. My purpose is to glorify the one who made me, which is the Almighty God. But there's a second way that this vision convicts me, and that is that not only is the center of the world the throne of God, but God is seated on that throne. He is there, and nothing is going to shake him. If you've never read the book of Revelation before, the first thing you need to understand about the book of Revelation is that it was a letter written to seven churches in what we would call today modern-day Turkey. And those seven churches were getting ready to experience a spiritual crisis. And if you've ever been through any kind of crisis in your life at any time, whether it's a financial crisis or a marital crisis or a personal crisis, you know that you need something stable and secure to hold on to. This past week, we've been hearing the news about Hurricane Florence attacking the East Coast and how there's floodwaters rising. Well, all the people on the East Coast, if they're going to survive that hurricane, they need to find ground that is stable and secure, right? If you're going to make it through a storm, you need an anchor to hold on to make it through that storm. And it was the same way for these Christians. If they were going to make it through that crisis, they needed something stable to hold on to. And here was the message of that vision to them. Here's what you can hold on to. God is on the throne, and he isn't moving, and he is in control. No matter what is going on in your life, whether you're going through financial difficulties right now, if you're trying to find a job, if you're struggling with your health, if you're dealing with a relationship that isn't working out, the most important thing that you need to know right now is that God is on the throne and he is in control. That's what we need to know. Our world tries to tell us that a lot of things really matter. Our world tells us that what matters is what the stock market does. And our world tells us that what really matters is who's elected in November. And our world tells us that what really matters is how Dak plays on Sunday. Let me just tell you right now, those things don't matter. I was expecting to hear an amen at that point. Here's what really matters, church. Here's what really matters for you and for me and for this whole world. That the center of the world is a throne. And that throne is the throne of God, and God is on that throne, and he reigns. That's what matters. And when we understand that truth, it calls us into worship. And so let's pause right now, and let's sing praise to the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Let's sing.
To him who sits on the throne, and unto the Lamb. To him who sits on the throne, and unto the Lamb. Be blessing and honor and glory and power forever. Be blessing and honor and glory and power forever. Sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. To Him who sits on the throne, and unto the Lamb. Be blessing and honor and glory and power forever. Be blessing and honor and glory and power forever, forever.
Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000s times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped.
The vision continues in Revelation chapter 5. And the vision continues with a problem. The problem is that a scroll is brought forward to the one who is seated on the throne. That scroll has writing on both sides of it. And we think what the scroll contains is, we might call, the plan of God. The plan of God to redeem and restore this broken world. In chapter 4, the first part of the vision, I mentioned that the emphasis of that vision is on the throne of the Creator God. And we have these four living creatures who represent the created order, and they're all praising God for His creation. Well, God's good creation has been broken by sin. Sin has infiltrated this world, and because of sin, there is guilt, and there is shame, and there is embarrassment, there is disease, and there is death. And every day that we live, we see the brokenness of our world. Just this past week, we saw the brokenness of our world as one of the Fort Worth police officers was shot and killed not too far from where we are here in South Fort Worth. He was investigating robberies happening in the neighborhood. And as he was investigating them, he was shot, and then eventually he died. Robberies, thefts, guns, violence, that's all a part of this brokenness in our world. But God has a plan. God has a plan to fix all that brokenness. He's going to judge evil, and he's going to make all things new. He's going to bring forgiveness of sins to all of us. He's got a plan. And the scroll contained that plan. But the problem was, is that there was no one who could open that scroll. There was a cosmic search that went through all heaven and all of earth, and there was no one who was found worthy enough to open that scroll. And so John starts to cry, and you might not be able to tell it in the reading, but it's more than just shed a couple tears. John, he starts to wail. Because if the scroll isn't opened, then the plan of God won't be complete. brokenness will not be fixed. And we'll just have to languish in a world that is full of sin and death. And so he starts to cry. And then one of the elders taps him on the shoulder and says, John, don't cry. Because the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed, has overcome. He's talking about Jesus Christ, who came in the line of Judah and in the lineage of David. And so John turns expecting to see a lion. And instead, what does he see? A lamb that was slain. He expects to see an image of strength. Instead, he sees an image of weakness. He expects to see a conqueror, and instead he sees a victim. And the reason why is because Christ has conquered through sacrifice. That Christ went to the cross, and there at the cross, through his death, all sin was atoned for, and the power of sin was broken. The power of brokenness was broken. But it was through his suffering and death. It was through his sacrifice. And yet it's because of that perfect sacrifice of Jesus that he, the lamb that was slain, is worthy to take hold of that scroll. And the climactic moment of the vision in chapters 4 and 5 is that moment where the lamb walks over to the scroll and he takes a hold of it. And all of heaven starts to explode in worship, because what that means now is that the plan of God can move forward. The plan of God can be finished. Brokenness can be removed, and there can be true restoration because the Lamb was slain. What is the best worship experience that you've ever had? I want you to think about that for a second. What was the one worship assembly that just stands out in your mind, one church service that stands out into your mind that was just awesome? You could just feel the Spirit of God. You could tell God was present. You could feel it in your heart. You felt that conviction. You just felt that Spirit around you. What was it for you? When I was a teenager, I remember one time our youth group went to a youth conference. And while we were at that youth conference, it just was so good. The singing was so powerful and the preaching was so convicting. And I just was so moved by it all that there was this moment where I just kind of looked up towards the sky, to the ceiling of the church building. I just said, Lord, just take me to heaven now. I was in middle school at the time, so you might understand. But you know those moments, and maybe you've had a moment like that, where you just felt so close to God and just felt like God was beckoning you in up to heaven. Well, whatever good worship experience you've had in your life, nothing that we've had compares to what John experienced in Revelation 5. When all heaven exploded in worship because the Lamb had been slain and the Lamb had taken the scroll and the plan of God would be finished. And the worship that broke out, it broke out in a crescendo. It started first with the four living creatures, and then it spread to the elders, and then it spreads beyond that to the angels, to 10,000 times 10,000s of angels. And then at the very end, did you catch it at the very end? It goes to everyone in heaven, everyone in earth, everyone under the earth, everyone in the sea, and all that is in, they all begin to praise. It's this huge crescendo of worship. Why? Because the Lamb has been slain, and the Lamb can take the scroll. And this brokenness and sin that we struggle with in this world, it's not going to be that way forever. We know that God's plan will come about. Because the Lamb has overcome. There's a lot of things in this world that I don't know and I don't understand. I don't know what our economy's going to do. I don't know what's going to happen with politics. I don't know what record the Cowboys are going to... I don't know a lot of things. But one thing I do know with full conviction, the plan of God will come about. It will. And someday, God is going to restore this world. And we know that to be true because the Lamb was slain. And when we understand that truth, it calls us into a spirit of worship where we join all heaven and earth and we declare, worthy is the Lamb. And that's what we're going to do now. We're going to worship the Lamb. And we're going to do it in a crescendo, just like it happens in chapter 4 and 5. There are five songs that are sung to the one on the throne and to the Lamb in chapters 4 and 5. And so we're going to sing five songs, and they all come from Revelation. But here's how we're going to do it. The first song, we're just going to listen. We're just going to listen to this song being sung, just like as if this was the four creatures singing or the 24 elders singing. We're just going to listen. And we're just going to soak in these words. The second song, just the ladies are going to sing. So you ladies get ready, because you're going to have to sing out. And then the third song, just the men are going to sing. So us men need to get our voices ready to sing out. And then the fourth song, we all will sing seated. And then the fifth song, we will all sing, but we will be standing. And that fifth song, church, when we get to the fifth song, that's the time to really let it out and to declare how great is our God. Let's worship.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore You. Clothed in rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder, blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to You, the only wise King. Yeah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore You.
Holy, filled with wonder, holy, awestruck wonder,
holy,
at the mention of Your
holy
name.
Is holy.
Jesus, Your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery.
And I will adore You.
Ladies.
Holy, holy.
Cry home.
The darling of heaven crucified.
He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great!
First time the word lamb is used in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 22. When God comes to Abraham and he says to Abraham, I want you to take your son, the one whom you love, Isaac, and I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. Abraham gets up the next morning, him and Isaac saddle the donkey, they get the supplies together, they start to go to Mount Moriah. And on the journey, Isaac puts two and two together, and he looks over to his dad, and he says, Dad, I see the wood, and I see the fire, but where's the lamb for the offering? And I've always imagined that Abraham, at this point, he just maybe looks off into the distance, tears in his eyes, lump in his throat. Oh, son. The Lord will provide the lamb. And that conversation between a father and a son found its fulfillment at the cross, where Almighty God offered His Son, the one whom He loved, Jesus, as a sacrifice for our sins, so that you and I might be forgiven, so that you and I might be healed, so that you and I might be delivered. Yes, as Abraham said, he was right. The Lord did provide the lamb. And it's at this time where we share communion And we remember the Lamb that was slain for us. We take of the bread and we take of the fruit of the vine to remember the story of the sufferings of Christ and how, because of the Lamb that was slain, we have forgiveness and we have hope and we are healed. And we invite all those who are part of the body of Christ to share in this meal with us now as we remember the Lamb. Let us pray. Lord, we are in awe of you as we've been able to worship with angels and with many others and been able to declare, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us." And Lord, we are so unworthy. We are so unworthy. And yet, because of your love for us, Jesus went to the cross. And through his suffering and death, we can be forgiven. And we can have hope. And we can be made new. Lord, you provided the Lamb. We are so thankful. Bless this bread that is going to be shared at this time among this body of believers. May it nourish us as we remember the story, the sacrifice of the Lamb. We pray this in the name of Jesus, and we all say together, Amen. And after the meal, Jesus took bread, and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Take and eat of it." Lord, we continue our prayer and continue our meditation, and we are so thankful again for the blood that was shared, the blood that was offered for us so that we might have a new covenant, so that we might have a new relationship with you, that we might be welcomed into your family, and we might have forgiveness of sins. And Lord, as we take this fruit of the vine, as we drink of it, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the Lamb who was slain, the blood that was slain. And bless this as we share this at this time. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And after eating, he took the cup. And he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink of it." At this time, we're going to take up our offering that we do every Sunday. Like I mentioned at the beginning of our service, if you're a guest and you filled out one of those contact cards, please drop it in the offering plate as it comes by. Or if you have a prayer request that you want us to know about, you can write that down on one of those cards and drop it in the offering plate too as it comes by. Now, I'm going to encourage everybody to, whether you're a guest or not, encourage you to give, to be a part of the ministries here at Southside. The money that is collected up through this offering goes many different directions. It goes to see the hungry fed. It goes to see the naked clothed. It goes to help those who are in prison. It goes to help those who are sick. It goes to bless children and to minister to children in our neighborhood. It goes to help those who are poor in other countries around the world. So this money goes in so many different directions as a part of the ministries of our church as we try to be a light to our neighborhood and to the world. And so if you want to be a part of that, we would love to welcome you to do that. Just drop some money in the plate, or you can give online through our website. Let us go to God in prayer. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this worship service, and as we've been pouring out our hearts in praise to you because of what you have done for us, it's this moment in our worship where we can respond, at least in some way, financially, where we can acknowledge that money is not our God, but you are our God. And so because we believe that, we want to share our money with those who have needs, and so that the gospel can be proclaimed. And so, Lord, bless this offering. Bless the money that is taken up. May it all be used for your glory so that those who are needy, those who are lost, those who are struggling in some way, that they can find the hope that is found in Jesus. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I mentioned at the beginning of our service that if you're our guest, you're here probably because someone invited you. And then we talked about how this heavenly vision from chapters 4 and 5 of Revelation happened because John was invited by the Lord Jesus to experience this vision. And then I said that all of us are able to worship the Lord this morning because we all have been invited. Invitations are important. Invitations are powerful because invitations can change your life. And some of you have heard this story before, but some of you know about Bob Davidson, who used to be the head of Aggies for Christ program down in College Station, Texas, down in A&M Church of Christ. I heard a whoop. Can't believe that. But there was a story where Bob was up in New York and he was passing out invitations for a church meeting that was going on. As people were coming along, he was passing out invitations, and along comes this drunk man stumbling along the way, and Bob says, "I got this guy," and so he takes his invitation and he sticks it in his back pocket, sends that drunk guy along the way. Well, the drunk guy gets home, and he wakes up the next morning, not really sure where he's been the past night, and he pulls out of his pocket this crumpled invitation to go to church. And he thought, where did that come from? Maybe the Lord is trying to tell me something. And so the next day, he shows up at church. Everyone's like, well, how did you know to come? And he shows them this crumpled invitation. He says, I don't know how it got there, but I think the Lord was trying to tell me something. And he didn't just come that night, he kept coming back to church, came back every single week until finally he made the decision that he wanted to get sobered up, and he wanted to give his life to Jesus, and he wanted to be baptized into Christ. Well, as some of you know, that formerly drunk man, his son married my sister. And they are now, can you believe it? And they are now missionaries in Nepal, all because Bob Davidson put an invitation in a drunk man's back pocket. Invitations are powerful. Invitations can change your life. They can only change your life, they can change your whole family tree. And the reason why invitations are so powerful is because of the one who actually gives the invitation. And that is Jesus Christ. When Bob Davidson put that track in Ernie Phillips' back pocket, it really wasn't Bob doing it. It was Jesus doing it. And it's the same way today. When your friend invited you to come to church, it really wasn't your friend. It was Jesus inviting you to come and be a part of this worship experience, inviting you to come and to learn of Him, because Jesus wants to change your life. He wants to change your life. The power of the Lamb. He wants to change your life. And the book of Revelation, what it's all about, it's about making a decision to follow the Lamb. That's what it's about. Making a decision to follow the Lamb. And as we've had this powerful worship experience that many of us have been invited to be a part of, what Jesus has been trying to say to each one of us is, come and follow me. Come follow the Lamb. Make that decision to follow the Lamb. And the way we make that decision is we repent of our sins. We make a decision that we're going to start following Jesus and we're going to let Him be the leader of our life. We confess our faith before others, and then we are baptized into Christ. And when we're baptized in water, our sins are washed away, and baptism is a way that we say, I am on the Lamb's side. I'm on the Lamb's team. I'm following Him. He is the Lord of my life. And if you're ready to take that step and be baptized, you can do that today. You don't have to wait. You can do it today on Friend Day. We would love for that to happen. We're going to have our spiritual leaders, our ministers and elders surround our auditorium in just a moment. We're going to sing a song. And during this song, if you're ready to make that decision, just walk to one of those men and they will help you with that. Or if you need prayer or encouragement, maybe you're going through a storm right now, you need to know that God reigns, that God's on the throne, you can just walk to one of these men and tell them about what's going on. They will pray with you. They will encourage you. If there's any way that we can help you to follow the Lamb who is worthy, please come now as together we stand and sing.